Hoi, 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 cheeky monkeys.
Toppy. It's Bergkamp. That's magnificent.
Gentle squad.
Well done. Bye-bye.
Hello and welcome to ABW Radio. What can we say about that? Talking about bottlers and France this evening, we will go through the Rennes game. I am joined this evening by John, who will be working the buttons. John, how's it going?
Pretty good. If I sound a bit different, people, it's because I've got a fancy new microphone. I'm still working out how to use it, and I was sort of installing at halftime between the game and stuff. So apologies if the audio is not correct, but we'll get it all sorted out. It's a very nice microphone, though, but Danny will tell you all about them later. Other than that, yeah, it's great. You know, it wasn't Mustafi this week, so that was nice.
And completing the trio for this evening, all the way along from the hipsters, we have got Lana, who will be selling Ligue 1 to us. Lana, how's it going?
It's going great, you know, compared to you two. So I'm actually in a great mood today.
Thanks, Lana. I'm sure we'll try and keep a happy face through most of this. But let's go to the chat box first. We'll just double check who was in there. Who was first to this evening? I've got Marco Bricks UK, and they've got J-Rob, Archie, Danny the GFP, whoever he is, Daz316, loads of guys in there. Keep your chat coming. It'll be great as always. And don't forget, as well, I know we've only got 86 of you in there at the moment, but if you want to hit a like, subscribe, do any of that, click the little bell icon, you'll know when we're going live. But let's get into the game. John, we'll start with the lineup for Arsenal. What did you reckon to the lineup? Pretty strong, right?
Yeah, stronger than I thought it would be. Back four again, which was nice. I thought it was pretty progressive. Obviously, we couldn't pick Lacazette because of the suspension, but, you know, Ozil's in, which you can make of it what you want one way or the other. Does that mean he's not playing the United game? You know, who knows? But Iwobi, Mkhitaryan, I think, have been two of our better players recently. Xhaka and Torreira, which has kind of been the preferred midfield duo. It's got generally our best results. Mustafi still at right back after I thought he had a pretty decent performance in there before. So, yeah, like, essentially probably our strongest team we could field at the moment. You can argue the toss-up between Ozil and Ramsey and maybe Leno for Czech, but other than that, really strong. And looking at Rennes' team, I didn't know a whole lot about them, honestly. I knew, obviously, knew Ben Arfa and Grenier. I'd heard of Saar. Chris had spoken about him before. And the only other player who didn't play tonight, I think, is at Rennes. If I'm wrong, Lana will probably shout at me or tell me I'm wrong. I thought Mbaye Niang was at Rennes. I don't know. I'm sure she'll tell us in a minute.
Yeah, I think he was suspended for this game. But Lana, do you want to go through the Rennes team for us? Because it would, you know, it would be silly not to make use of your knowledge in this kind of game. What was this kind of Rennes team? Is this normal that we'd see a 4-4-2 from them?
It's pretty normal, especially in Europe. They've been a bit of a miss and hit this season, you know, changing coaches and then getting Stefan in, who's the son of the France assistant coach, Guy Stefan. So he was at the game today. That was really nice. Scouting for Deschamps as well. But he has, you know, turned the whole red team around, basically, from taking over from the previous coach. When he took over, he played Lyon and won that game. So that was fun for Rennes, obviously. But, you know, they've changed a lot, become more structured at the back, you know, more direct when it comes to attack, which they've struggled with before, more composed in midfield, which we've seen that, you know, it's not always easy to keep the ball against them, which we saw tonight, being how they dominated Arsenal at times. And overall, I thought they had, like, you know, the lineup was perfect. It couldn't have been any more changes that I would have done to it.
Awesome. So let's get started with the game. John, I'm going to come to you because 3 minutes in, Iwobi drives a goal. Def drives the ball into the bottom right corner, right? From an excellent move from him. Do you want to talk us through that first goal and how he's our best player?
everyone knows I've been waving the Iwobi is getting wrongly slated and has been doing really well for us. as much as I like him, even I don't think I can claim that he was going for goal there. Looked to me like it was just a really good ball in for Aubameyang running in at the back post. And he's just trying to put it in a dangerous area. I'm not sure who the defender was, but he's put it in a way. He's put the ball in such a good place. The defender can't really go for it because he's just going to score an own goal there. And he's trying to watch where Aubameyang is at the same time. It means the keeper is not sure what he's doing. I don't know if Lana can talk more about the defence and Kubek, their end goalkeeper, and how good he is or isn't. But yeah, look, there's a bit of luck. I thought Iwobi generally, obviously, unfortunately, he had to be subbed off. I actually thought he played pretty well tonight and was one of our brighter players. And he was our main or one of our only threats, really, when we did manage to get forwards in the game. Obviously, it was a lot changed because of the red card, but... yeah, he's just putting it in a good area, and it's the kind of thing people have criticised him before for his final ball and not being able to make the correct pass. And I actually think he did it quite a few times tonight, but that's an example of where rather than trying to hit a player, you just hit a really good area in the penalty box and you just leave it up to your striker or midfielder, whoever it is coming in, to attack the ball. And if he can do either one of those two things when he gets in those positions, then we're going to get goals, and sometimes he'll get lucky and get one himself.
Yeah, absolutely. He also was involved, I think, later in that, well, a couple of minutes later, where he kind of flashes the ball across to Torreira. Hits it straight at the keeper. Lana, do you want to talk us through like the kind of defending for that first goal as well? What kind of went on? Is that, you know, how we'd normally see Ren defend? Was it just unfortunate?
I think it's very unfortunate. You can see the keeper's caught off guard, but as John said, I mean, De Silva couldn't do much about it. Like, I thought it was a really lucky shot going in, and obviously it was very unlucky for Ren. You know, I wouldn't say that he's been very defensively solid, Kubiak at the back. I mean, they've conceded silly goals all over the season, especially against Real Betis. The 3-3 game, I mean, some of the goals were avoidable, but I would say they're defensively stronger at this, you know, side of the season compared to before. So obviously they're going to, you know, concede goals, but I mean, not every team is defensively solid these days. So, and defending is becoming a myth anyway. So not throwing any shades. I'm not really.
Well, you're a Juventus fan right now, so defending isn't a thing with you anymore.
No, it's not. We've actually given up on that.
let's talk about the home crowd as well that we had at Rennes, because I felt they were pressurising, certainly the referee being that full 12th man that came when Grenier had that free kick for about 35 yards. Is that something that you see from Rennes, their home crowd?
I mean... well, I know that England fans aren't used to great atmospheres at their stadiums compared to how it is in League One, where this is basically a norm, where fans are the 12th man. But I wouldn't say that they pressure the ref into making decisions that go their way. I think that, yes, French judges, well, in this case, it wasn't a French referee, but I think French referees in general aren't that good. No, I don't think that they pressured the ref into giving the decision going their way.
Fair enough. John, we'll move into the 21st minute here. Mustafi going down injured for a second time. Was that one of those where you're almost thinking it might not be too bad if we take him off?
Look, Mustafi gets loads of stick, most of the time, rightly so. I know Jason's a big defender of him and tries to stick up for him a bit because he does get picked on, not just by us, but all of our fans. He was okay tonight. I didn't think he was that bad, but it was just weird. He was hobbling for, I don't know, like 20, 30 minutes of that first half. And at one point you just thought, is it worth like continuing him in this game? Maybe bring on Maitland-Niles and like see if Mustafi's okay for the United game coming up, which is obviously a really big game as well. Because I thought in the previous game, Mustafi'd actually done okay, and it was one of his better performances. And he didn't look too bad at right back. We know he's got the tendency to dive in and stuff, but you'd rather shift that away a little bit from the goal, you know, when right back does that and gives him that opportunity. But yeah, it was a bit odd that he just seemed like he wanted to. I don't know whether it was he wanted to come off, but you just thought at some point the manager's going to take him off. But he persevered with him.
Yeah, absolutely. A few minutes later as well, he comes up with having a shot about half an hour mark. That free kick that we got. It's interesting to see our set plays in general, John. Just want to go through that routine, set play routine.
Yeah, it's. I think there's been a lot of talk about the, you know, short corners and some of the times when we readjust the free kick and it's not quite working and stuff. But we've scored a few goals from those kind of things and it's different to what we're used to. And I think that's kind of, you know, for quite a few years, whether it was, under Arsene, we'd swing the ball into the box. There wasn't really anyone to attack it sort of post-Invincibles because we didn't have anyone like Sol Campbell or even Henri, who didn't score that many headed goals, but he was still quite good in the air. And corners always kind of felt a bit wasted. And I know sometimes this season they still, either they don't beat the first man or we play it short or we do the same with free kicks. But occasionally we've done these nice little routines and opened up a bit of space and created some good chances for them. So I don't think they're that bad. I actually think our set plays going forwards and defensively, for the most part, tonight maybe not so much, but for the most part we've actually been really, really solid at that and improved in the last couple of games, especially in terms of our keeping the discipline in our back line.
Yeah, because we've managed to flag them off a couple offside a couple of times as well. Just want to quickly go into the chat box. I think we've got we're gonna go a bit Jason Davies here. I think it's Rob Huddleston. He's got like a badge of like a racist or something on there going on about Chelsea. Mate, you've got a game to be watching against some Ukrainian farmers. Fuck off. Right, he has gone. Back into the rest of the game. Oh, Socrates' first yellow card. Who wants to go through this? Lana? This is a bit of, like a Ben Arthur dive. I'm going to say it.
Well, you know, John's been complaining about players not going down too often. I thought the Arsenal players went down rather easily in that short period. And obviously everyone knows Ben Arfa is a diver. Well, at least he makes it look better than I would say most of the Premier League players do. But yeah, it was a dive. No doubt about it. I was laughing, but it, you know, it's classic Ben Arfa. I'm not surprised he had to. He dived for it and the ref fell for it. But, you know, you got to make the best of what you have, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. John, we then went into a spell of kind of very loose. I think we've seen that, you know, in the, 10 minutes up to half time in most of our games. And then Socrates again, second brain fart in a couple of minutes. Do you want to run us through his second yellow? And Saab, was it a dive?
So, right. I mean, I think Lana's right in that the first one was Ben Arthur buys the foul and it's not a yellow card. As for the second one, I actually think Saab gets hold of Socrates' arm as he outstretches it and then he goes down. So, yeah, I think, again, he's played for a dive. Now, I don't watch a lot of League and football, but I saw some people who do. I don't know if they're like support a team and they hate Rennes or something, but certain people who I know from French Football Weekly saying Rennes are known for diving, they do it a lot, this is kind of their MO, and he's played for it. The problem is with both the challenges, you're playing in Europe, you cannot go to ground and not win the ball and expect not to get booked. If you go to ground and you don't win the ball, you're more than likely going to get booked, so don't give the referee an opportunity. The second one is even more stupid because he's already got a yellow card. It's not that long ago. It's fresh in the referee's mind. And Sar's about to go clean through. Sometimes you just got to go, hang on a minute, use my brain. I'm an experienced defender. Don't put my arm out or anything else. Just don't give the referee an opportunity. I'm not saying it should have been a booking or anything else. The ref has fallen for it. But don't put yourself in that position in the first place. That's really, really bad defending from Socrates, who's, you know, what is he, 30 years old? He's played in huge games. He's played Champions League final for Dortmund, didn't he? I don't know if he played in. Did they get two?
Was that Hummels and Subotic that year?
Oh, it might have been. But he's played. He's won titles in Germany. He's got plenty and plenty of experience in international as well. So it's just really stupid defending. It's smart play from Saar, you know, to get it. And obviously all the Wren players get around the referee and do what they do, which, again, I don't actually have a problem with. I know some fans don't like it. I wish our players did it more often. The stadium's all roaring as well, gets on the referee's back. I do actually think that tends to have a bit of an influence on referees and their decisions. It's not going to make them give someone a red card, but just don't give the ref the opportunity to do it. But yeah, smart from Saar and very stupid from Socrates. Interesting to see it was Socrates making the bad challenge, because if I hadn't been like watching or listening to the game and someone said, "Oh, Arsenal defenders got sent off for making a stupid foul," I would have said instantly, "Oh, it's Mustafi."
Yeah, absolutely. Especially in that situation of, oh, pacey winger runs at one of our centre backs.
Yeah. I mean, okay, worst case scenario, he goes through and he scores a goal. I thought Saar was decent tonight for Wren, but one thing I did notice is that he doesn't seem like he can trap a ball particularly consistently, and some of his passing and shooting was a little bit erratic. He's very quick, and when what he wanted to do came off, it looked great, but other times, you know, he's really inconsistent. So I think I would have chanced my arm and said, you know what, Koscielny maybe gets there, maybe Cech makes a save. If they score, it's not the end of the world, it's 1-1, you know, we've got the away goal and we've still got 11 men on the pitch. I know that's a lot to go through your head, but as a defender with that much experience, you should know those things already.
Yeah, absolutely. Lana, do you want to talk us through the resulting free kick? Because that's where Wren get their equaliser.
Yeah, I actually talked to Rich about this, because there's another incident later on where Wren should have had a penalty, but they didn't. Since they got this free kick, then they should have had the penalty, because I didn't think it was a free kick, but, you know, it is what it is. It was a great goal, great finish, a great rocket from Benjamin. I celebrated. I'm sorry. Lacazette wasn't playing, so I'm not going to support Arsenal when he's not playing.
It's all about who's got the most Lyon players on their side, right?
They had four.
Exactly. John, there's not really anything we could have done with that defensively, could we?
So the free kick, you know, it gets the deflection and the hit is brilliant. Like, take nothing away from the goal. It's fantastic strike, brilliant technique. Cech's not getting there. There's no blame on him. The one thing you might question is, I don't know, there's like Xhaka, Aubameyang. There's probably a picture somewhere on Twitter already of like three or four of our players like with their face grimaced and they're probably, I don't know, like crouched over and their back turned and everything else. Not exactly being the bravest, you know, players. Yeah, something like that. So I'm not sure there's a whole lot you can do about it. The thing is, you just don't give the free kick up in the first place. That's the main thing. You're not going to stop a wonder strike like that. It's a great goal. So, yeah, it happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking of great strikes, Michael Hanneman is in the there with a £5 donation. Thank you very much, you absolute legend. He's got thoughts on Emery's tactics after going down to 10 men and at 2-1 when we decided to put Kolasinac on for Aubameyang and no striker. We will get to that in a second. I think that just about wraps up the first half for us. We'll quickly go back into the chat box. And just as I do so, Petito100 with $2. Screw all of this, but Monreal was meth tonight. I'm going to go with meth as opposed to meth. I mean, he might have been on meth. I'm not sure.
I don't think we're allowed to say players are on meth.
I don't think so. He's got all his teeth, so I'm pretty sure he's not.
Yeah. Also, you know, that's probably against UEFA regulations. Maybe. Is that sport enhancing meth? It can't be. No.
Not sure.
As it's half time, and someone in the chat box asked me, I'm going to embarrass myself now. Who do you think you are? I can't do a Welsh accent at all. Every time chat box is the only way we can get to do the light thing. Lana, sorry, you have to suffer this for a minute. Who do you... Can you do Welsh better than me?
Come on. Well, I'll try not to sound like an owl.
I don't know what that was.
I don't know, boy. Oh, no, I'm not really sure.
No, you sounded like you're from Cornwall then.
That's the problem. I slip into my Bristolian accent.
Taffy for the taffy. There we go. That was a little bit better. Sorry, Pete. That's the best I could do. But yeah, please be hitting that how many people we got watching? There's 202 of you watching now. We've upped our female listenership by like at least, we've probably doubled it from 2% to 4% just having Lana on. She's not wearing a Ren shirt. I know it's red, but she's not wearing a Ren shirt. It's a Leon shirt. She's a Lacazette fan. She does cheer Arsenal on. So we've actually got some proper, like, someone who knows what they're talking about when it comes to football. So hit the like button.
And us too.
And us too, yeah. So yeah. You can hit the thumbs down as well if you want. That's fine. Lee Beaton, you can put all those edge you like because we love the fact that you're watching the video, mate. Thank you for the views. Go on then, Josh. You can go back now.
Cheers. You did that a lot better than I would have done. I'm too nice. I think that's my problem. That or I'm just going to go full West Country at people and sound like an actual farmer rather than the farmers that beat us 3-1. But into the second half. I'd say, before we go into that, John, do you find it a bit odd that we didn't make a change immediately after Socrates went off?
I didn't think so, just because when the time the red card happened, because it was like, 41, 42 minutes into the game. So you've got a few minutes until half time. There's no point doing it then. You can assess, you get the full 15 minutes. You can get someone to warm up properly as well. Because if you're trying to make the rush sub, then the chance, we've seen it before where players have been rushed on for a substitution, not warmed up properly, and picked up an injury. It's very Arsenal to do that kind of thing. So I thought waiting until half time was fine. The fact that we didn't make any subs at half time, I found really surprising. I thought that probably Ozil would have come off. Might have been one option, not necessarily because he's playing bad or anything else, but because you're down to 10 men, you're not going to have as much possession, or in theory you shouldn't have as much possession. So it's more about getting up and down the pitch as much as you can, battling for the ball and then trying to take it 20, 30 yards up the pitch, maybe win a free kick, you know, something that Iwobi's good at, which obviously he was already on. Ramsey can do that for you as well. Mkhitaryan's already on the pitch. So I thought Ozil was probably the most likely to come off. And maybe Maitland-Niles, I would assume, would have been the one to come on at right back. But yeah, very surprised it didn't happen.
Lana, we'll go to the start of the second half. Ren, I think the way they came at, I'm going to say us, you know I'm talking about Arsenal and not you in particular. the way they came at us was just, it was crazy, the way that they utilised the flanks. Is that part of their game? And what did you reckon to their build-up play in?
Yeah, it's part of their game. They have very two good, out and out field players, and I thought they were very aggressive at times. A bit not so, Ren, but I thought they did really well in midfield, especially Grenier, and I thought Benatfa also grew into the game more and more, although he, added more dives as he was going for each attack. But that's classic Ren. I've been on the receiving end of those dives, so I know how you guys feel. I thought they did really well in midfield as well, because you could see that Arsenal was struggling, which is why I think also Emery made the substitution by taking on Lopi. It seems like when Guendouzi was coming out, he was a bit of a rush, like he didn't have time to warm up, judging by it, because that boy was stressing to get off his, clothes and just get on the pitch. So I was like, I don't hope he does. Okay, not all his clothes, but yeah, you know what I mean.
Absolutely. John, we then went to the sub and it finally happened. We took off our most creative player. I'm gonna say that, and I'm not sure if I'm sarcastic or serious about it, to be honest. But Iwobi comes off and we bring on Guendouzi. For me, I would have gone maybe Mkhitaryan, but what did you reckon to that with Iwobi coming off?
It was weird. Just very quickly catch this one from Arian Hadari. Thank you very much for the donation. Is Gignac the greatest France striker ever? We will get to that. I'll make sure to ask Lana that one because I'm sure she's got some views on it. I already said that I thought Ozil would have been the one to come off. And again, this is not, I know, people know I'm not his biggest fan, but it just made sense to me. And Lana made a really good point that it didn't look like Guendouzi was quite ready for the sub. So it was not rushed. I assume at some point he was probably going to come on. Emery tends to have a plan and then a backup plan in case something happens and this kind of thing. But he looked really angry and frustrated or something. And I don't know if it was Iwobi previous to that hadn't tracked his runner who'd got in. Zefan, I think it was the fullback who got to the byline and pulled a a good ball across, and I think Koscielny cleared it. So I don't know if it was a... Emery doesn't strike me as a sort of manager who will like instant react and then take him, you know, and take someone off the pitch for doing one thing wrong. This might sound crazy, but I actually think he took Iwobi off to save him for the Man United game. And it's disappointing because I think what he offers you in a game like this when you are down to 10, like I already said, is that ability to carry the ball up the pitch. You already had Mkhitaryan on, so that makes sense. And it's just weird to bring on Guendouzi because I'm not sure what we've seen of him in terms of performances. I'm not sure we've seen the best out of him defensively. Like, he will run all day for you and that kind of thing, and he's passing forward, I actually think he's very good in his progressive play, but his sense of positioning and stuff like that at the moment is a long way away from being perfect. That's fine. He's a young kid and he's going to learn it. And this is not a fault of his. It's just about growing up in the game and match awareness and stuff. But it seemed like a strange one to bring on. And it just seemed odd to leave Ozil out there for as long as he did and him not to be the first one to come off. So I don't know. Like, Josh, did you, because obviously you're asking all the questions tonight, what was your opinion on that? Because it just seemed really weird to me.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think I tongue-in-cheek said Emery out at that point. I wasn't too happy with it. I would have thought someone like Mkhitaryan or Aubameyang, who were the two that, when we were breaking forward, were breaking up that attack for us in a not too helpful way. I think that's where I would have been on it, to be honest. One thing I did notice, but in my notes, it's not to the 89th minute. And maybe that's just for me not really paying attention because we were just absolutely slaughtered down the left. But was Mickey then went to right back at that point? Am I correct in saying? Or did we stick at three in the back?
No, Mkhitaryan went to right back. So, I mean, he did it when Mustafi got sent off. And I thought, yeah, okay, that makes sense for, you know, up until half time. But he stuck with it into the second half, which it just seemed really odd when you've got Maitland-Niles on the bench and you can bring him on. You know, you've got Kolasinac if you don't want to bring on Maitland-Niles and you can move, I don't know, Monreal is good enough technically to play on the right-hand side as well. You know, he's a very experienced fullback. He can play fine with his right foot and you can move Kolasinac to left back. It was a really weird decision to leave Mickey there, especially when, like, I think in the last couple of games, he's been really good defensively in terms of his tracking, but he's obviously not a right back. And I don't know. It was just a very odd decision. I get trying to be compact and everything, but Ren's strength is obviously in their wingers and their wide players and the pace they've got in, you know, Saar and the fullbacks getting forwards and stuff. And it's obviously what they're going to do to try and exploit it. So it just would have made sense to bring on someone who's got, especially Maitland-Niles, who's got that bit of pace and can get around the pitch.
Yeah. I think overall, I'm not sure anybody can really say to us what Emery was thinking at that point with that substitution. I think it's one of the big turning points in the game. Lana, from there, we then saw this large period of Ren pressure on the Arsenal goal, just absolutely peppering it. You want to talk us through just kind of how Ren kind of going through their attacks? It was mainly on the counter and through Saar, but yeah, do you want to just talk us through that?
I just want to put it in that you're not the first team to lose against Ren. Emery's last game in charge was against Ren, where they beat PSG 2-0. And PSG obviously had a better attack that day than Arsenal did. So, I mean, you can always take pleasure in that at least you scored against Ren, unlike PSG did. But yeah, Ren's main game is all about, you know, the flanks, creative fullbacks. Obviously, they have a really good one in Mehdi Zaban, who's a former Lyon Academy player. Really happy that he's gone on to become such a strong part of the squad for Ren. And, you know, Ismail Assar, who's auditioning for Arsenal tonight because he's been linked to you guys a lot. And I know that Emery's a fan. He was great as well. Bringing on, you know, Leia Siliki was also, he should have started, but I think he had some sort of injury. That's why he was put on the bench. But, you know, you could see that the game went through, you know, the fullbacks and the wingers and Ben Arfa playing almost like a false nine at times as well, which is pretty usual since they don't really have really great striker in that term.
Yeah, I think it was the one thing that was missing was a clinical finisher at that point. John, what did you make of Cech's performances? Because he was getting on the end of, well, saving a lot of shots that we got from Wren. Do you think he had a good night overall?
Yeah, I don't think Cech had a bad game. I saw a lot of criticism of him on Twitter and a few people saying he should retire early and things like that. I don't think he put a foot wrong, to be honest. I honestly thought that if it wasn't for him, we'd probably have conceded a few more. He made some really good saves, covered his angles well. They weren't like, you know, like fingertip, top corner, you know, like out of this world saves, but they're all ones that you'd expect him to make, and he did all of them. So I don't know. You can only perform as well as the sort of opportunity gives you, and he saved everything I thought he should. He had no chance on Wren's first goal. He had, you know, and no chance on the other two. So I don't think he did anything wrong at all. I saw a few people say it may have been a different result if Leno was in goal. I honestly don't think it would at all.
No. Petito 100 again. Another $2. Thank you very much. Try and stay off Twitter today. We'll try our best, Petito. If you could all retweet the show first, though, that would be great, you know. But let's continue with that. All of you guys with your Arsenal bingo cards would have crossed off 61 minutes for a Xhaka yellow card. And then after 64, Nacho. You know, I've got it down as Nacho own goal, but I think it is Monreal's own goal. Lana, was this complete unluckiness, wasn't it, that resulted in Cech getting lobbed by Monreal?
Yeah, that was a freakish goal, almost as weird as the first one that Wren conceded. I thought I was really unlucky. Started making Shakira jokes at that point because I felt really bad for him. But, you know, it's nothing he could have done. Obviously, the amount of pressure coming from Wren, we all knew they were going to score. You know, they were closer to scoring a second and third goal than Arsenal ever were to scoring their second. So it's just unlucky that it, you know, came off his hips. Because I think it was off his hips and then into the goal.
Yeah, it came off his hip and then lobbed Petr Cech. John, anything on that own goal, other than just it being a kick in the teeth, I think, at that point? But
I mean, look, I'm not blaming Nacho because he's in a position where he has to try and put something on it because he's not sure what's in behind or if someone's running in behind him. And it happens. There's nothing Cech can do about it either. The problem is the build-up from that. We try and play the ball out. Aubameyang loses possession, which he's done a lot in the game. I thought he had a really poor performance tonight. He wasn't holding up the ball at all for us. It's not one of his strong parts of his game. We've said it a lot that, you know, his strength is obviously running in behind. When Lacazette plays, you can play into feet, you can play it in the air, you can hold it, you can bring people into play, win your free kicks, that kind of thing. That's not Aubameyang's game. But when you're down to 10 men, you've got to work a bit harder. And I don't think he did that enough tonight. But he loses the ball, you know, and our defence is, they're a little bit slow to get out, I think, and react to it, to be honest. It's unlucky for Nacho, but just the general sort of positioning is a little bit off. I know we've only got 10 men. It makes it harder, but we were just a bit too slow to react to everything. And our heads went a little bit, as I think, was it Mustafi was apparently trying to point out to the rest of his teammates.
Yeah. I don't think irony. What's the word for like irony in terms of Schadenfreude?
Schadenfreude is taking pleasure from other people's misfortune.
Yeah. No, Jack just brings misfortune. And there's no pleasure with them. Next thing I've got on there from us would be Ozil coming off. Aaron Ramsey coming on. Do you think he's going to play on Sunday, John, or do you think this was tactical?
I really don't know. Look, I was surprised when he played the other weekend, I'll be honest. I think I had people got me as predicting him not to start, and he did. Fair enough. I think he's been good since he's come back. You know, I think he's been okay. Will he play at the weekend? I mean, the thing is, like, he didn't really do anything wrong tonight, but he also didn't really do a lot. he had, if you want to be super critical, he did do one thing wrong. He got a pretty good chance in the box and powder puffed it a bit like Aubameyang's penalty at Loris, straight at the goalkeeper. In fact, it was actually worse than Aubameyang's penalty because the goalkeeper didn't even have to move. Will he start against United? Maybe. I mean, the United team has got so many injuries that, yeah, maybe it's just about the right time for Mesut Ozil to get a game. But it made sense to bring Ramsey on. You need a bit more energy. Ozil in a game where you don't have the ball and it's all about trying to battle and win it back and hold your position and stuff. It's not the sort of game for him.
Yeah, and you've alluded to one of our other players I want to talk about as well, Aubameyang. We're talking about soft shots. I think the shot that Ozil had in the end, I think he was just annoyed, wasn't he? Because he kept, all of our creative players kept passing to Aubameyang, who just was overcomplicating everything, the game. What did you think of his performance? And Lana, if you want to talk us through the Gabon pace merchant, I believe you refer to him as, that'd be great.
He had a great game. Not so much. He's known for his pace, obviously. He's not really someone who brings others into play, creates chances, or is really good at defending. And it's obvious that when Lacazette is on the pitch, Aubameyang is a completely different player. He's not, I've said it from the start, he's not good enough to lead this team on his own. He needs, you know, a supporting cast. And with Lacazette sadly missing from this game and next game, Arsenal's going to really struggle to be able to score goals. And I think Aubameyang people claim that he's low on confidence. He really isn't. This is just how Aubameyang is when he doesn't have someone to cover his ass, basically, which Lacazette has been doing all season, which, you know, it's been done for him at Dortmund, at Saint-Étienne. Take away his pace, he really isn't such a special player as people seem to believe that he is. I'm not being bitter or anything. I've followed him since his Saint-Étienne days. He really isn't much of a world-class player. He relies a lot on his pace, and unfortunately that means that when you need a goal or you need a striker that can create, defend or track back, he's not one you can rely on.
Fair enough. I think that pretty much covers his entire performance and career. John, was there anything you wanted to add on Aubameyang?
I don't think Alba is the world's greatest footballer, but there's no denying his goal record this season has been fantastic for us. He's still got an absurd record, but you can also make a highlight reel of some of the chances he's missed as well, which are, kind of ridiculous. He had a bad game tonight. It's as simple as that. I think maybe his confidence is a little bit shot from the Tottenham game. Penalty miss kind of killed him. It's weird, actually. It's almost like, Lacazette has gone through a little dip in form. Like, he missed some good chances in the Spurs game as well. And you could see when he came off, he was really annoyed and, like, pissed at himself and then disappointed to be subbed, obviously. And it seems like they both dip at the same time. Like, they're such good friends that it seems to affect the other one. I don't know, like, maybe it's just a mad theory or something. But, it's disappointing because, obviously, if they both happen at the same time, then we really don't have anyone who can score goals. So it is an issue. And I think Lana's right as saying about struggling for the second leg, because obviously when we come to play that, Ren are going to come to the Emirates and you would imagine they'll all try and sit deep, defend and try and break on the counter and use the pace that they've got in Sarr and players like that. And Aubameyang, we know, will struggle against teams who will sit deep because he hasn't got the space to run in behind, which is where we're really going to miss Lacazette, because he can really provide and people can play off him. So it's not going to make the second leg easy.
Yeah, but you know what French teams are like when they've got leads in a European competition.
Is that why you lost to Monaco?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm going to blame Wenger and Oxlade-Chamberlain for that.
Yeah, not true at all.
let's plow on into the furrow that was the rest of the game. Before we do that, chat box, if you do have questions for us, stick question in this before stick question in before you write your thing, and we'll pick them out, and John will make sure to drop them into our little chat, and I'll make sure that we answer them in a second. But let's go through the rest of it. Was Xhaka lucky to not get sent off in the 79th minute, just after Aubameyang came off? Lana, I'm going to go for this because I don't think it would be that biased if I say Xhaka should have been sent off.
You should have been sent off in the last game as well. But, you know, that's another game, another discussion, I suppose. Yeah, he should have been sent off. Really, really lucky to get away two games in a row right now. That man has 9 lives, that's for sure. But, you know, I guess he just has to ride on his luck. He'll probably get sent off against United anyway, so, you know.
Yeah, I suppose at least one of the Arsenal players is lucky at the moment, albeit it's only Xhaka and not getting sent off. Next thing I've got is, because to be fair, Arsenal were poor for the majority of the rest of the game, trying to run time down, then concede a third to Saar. John, have we seen this all before? You know, losing the ball down from a corner or in the corner conceding?
It was a corner or a throw-in, I can't remember.
It was
now.
A throw-in in the bottom.
It's at their goal, basically. It's sloppy, lose possession. They've still got a long way to go in terms of travelling the pitch. But the one thing, I'll give Ren some credit. I thought they were pretty good tonight. I didn't think they were amazing. Honestly, I thought a lot of their passing was pretty wayward, and if they didn't have Grenier in their team, they probably would have struggled, because he was definitely pulling all the strings and he looked like the only one who could pass consistently really well. But they switched to play well, they exploited the space. They broke really quick and they've got fast players, and it's a really good ball in, and there's a great run from Saar, and it's a very good finish. The issue I would have with it is, if you go back and watch it, you've got Nacho Monreal, I think, is in their box. Why are you up there? What was it at that time? It's the 88th minute. You know, yes, it'd be nice to get a goal back, but, you know, losing 2-1 away with 10 men isn't a bad result in Europe. That's fine. That's something you can comfortably come back from. So that's strange. When you watch the video back, the player closest to Saar as he gets the header is Ramsey, who is ostensibly our striker. In the formation that we're playing at that time, because I think Kolasinac had come on for Aubameyang and basically would move to the left, and Ramsey was our furthest forward player. The fact he's the player who makes the run from their box and is the closest player to Saar when he heads the ball is absurd, because you say, where's Monreal, where's Kolasinac? And you can see it's building up, because Koscielny's running and he's looking, he's got Saar, and I'm not sure who the other guy is on that side, and he's looking at both of them and he doesn't know where to go. Because he's trying to cover the middle at the same time and looking behind him and going, where's my help? You know, Guendouzi wasn't quick enough to react. Xhaka, we know, isn't quick enough anyway. And he's trying to come across and help out on our right-hand side where the ball's going to be crossed from. So really good move from Ren, and they exploited all the space. But it's just awful organisation. You don't need that many players up the pitch that late in the game. Just, you know, one or two players, frighten to Mkhitaryan or Ramsey or whoever. Someone with decent feet, keep it in the corner flag, just run the clock down. Why you've got so many players in the box is just ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. Lana, you've probably seen that goal 1,000 times as well when watching Arsenal and watching Ren. Is there anyone to blame for it other than just the collective?
I thought the midfield could have done better. I thought that, you know, the way they just got steamrolled. And as John said, Grenier really was at the heart of everything Ren did in midfield tonight. And you could see, like, you know, when he came off as well, got a standing ovation. And he was just amazing. But, you know, I thought the midfield really failed to close down so late in the game. And, you know, when the ball came in and the header, it was just like game over, basically. It's going to be really hard for Arsenal to turn around, I think. Really poor defending as well. I'm sorry.
Well, What can we say? That was the game. 3-1 loss. John, what are your thoughts for the second leg? Do you think there's still a chance before we go to questions?
We can still go through. I think no Lacazette makes it difficult because, like I said, I think Ren will sit deep and Aubameyang struggles with that. The onus is on us. It lets Ren sit back and try and break, which is what they're best at. 2-1 would have been fine, honestly, I think, because you can just sort of, you can wear a team down. But that last minute, like the goal late on, I don't know, it's tough. We had to play a lot of that game with 10 men, and we've got a tough game this weekend as well. So, I don't know. I'm hopeful. I'm trying to be positive because, like, Jace isn't on tonight, and he's normally the one with the positive vibes, and I'm trying not to be Mr. Negative as normal.
Excuse me? What? Which Jace? Davies, the Welsh one.
Yeah. He's positive sometimes.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Well, compared to me, he is anyway.
Fair enough. But Lana, what do you reckon for Ren in the second leg? Can they hold on to this lead?
Well, obviously, everyone's going to be like, oh, but PSG choked. But that's PSG. That's another competition, and that's another day and age. I really think that Ren is going to be able to keep, hold on. And I think that Arsenal is going to struggle to keep a clean sheet, which we've seen over the season. So I don't think that Ren should, it would be, it would take a real monumental choking from Ren to lose this, the return leg for Arsenal to go through. But not that I don't want them to go through, because I want you guys to have Champions League, but I just don't see Ren choking the way PSG did yesterday. But, and you don't have Lacazette as well. And if Aubameyang's confidence, form, or whatever continues, you guys are going to struggle. I mean, Ramsey better start working as a striker for the next 2 weeks, I suppose.
Is that because you need a striker now at Juventus? Because you spent, a gazillion £100 on one that won't score in the Champions League for you?
Still going to win the Champions League. The league...
PSG got to hang on to that as well. Anywho, Unique79 with £2 donation as well. Thank you very much. Shall we wish ourselves lucky for Sunday? I don't think there's enough luck in a pot of gold at the end of a rainbow that will help us through Sunday. But John, let's go over to the questions. Do you want to fire away?
Yes. Okay. Sorry, people, for a little bit slow tonight. It's, my fault. Right. So we had one from Michael earlier who donated. Thank you, Michael. Thoughts on Emery's tactics after going down to 10 men and at 2-1 when he decided to put Kolasinac on for Aubameyang and go with no striker? Lana, I want to ask you that one, because obviously you saw a lot of Emery at PSG, so you will know more about his tactics or supposed tactical skills. Anyway, so what did you make about that, taking off our only striker?
Yeah, I was like, man, what are you doing? Haven't you learned from the Madrid game, from, the Lyon game and all these games that you've lost and where you've needed a goal? It was just silly. And, to bring out Kolasinac, and then I couldn't quite understand the formation Arsenal was playing. I don't know if Ramsey was actually a striker or playing as a false nine. And I think actually the players as well struggled to really understand what their role was. I mean, at times they looked really confused. So I was like, yeah, this is going to come back to bite Arsenal so badly. And it did with Ren scoring the third goal. But it's Emery, tactically he is good, but sometimes the mistakes he does could be very much avoidable. It's like he doesn't tend to learn from them. Much like, when Austin used to, try the same formula, hoping it would end up in a winning way every time. Is Emery in many ways as well. So I hope that he has a master plan for the next game, because Arsenal's going to need it, especially if you take off Aubameyang the way he did today.
Yep. Thank you very much. Just very quickly, got a few from Twitter just statements more than questions. Mike Hahnemann at Stevenage Gooner, terrible performance, starting lineup was strong, got the early goal, but after that we didn't create anywhere near enough, just wanted to walk the ball into net, and after Socrates read it just fell apart. Emery got it wrong during the game trying to settle on the 2-1. And also one from WD40, who is at No More Lies AFC, massive supporter of Emery and what he's doing at Arsenal. There's many pro Wenger cult members out there hoping he fails because he's not Wenger. But the first time, I generally feel Emery got him massively wrong tonight. His subs were shocking. So there we go. Not like the Arsenal fan base to turn suddenly on a manager after one result. I'm not accusing you of that, by the way, WD40. I'm just saying. We've got one from Yvonne, our good friend. Hello, Yvonne. Hope you're well. Is Lana permanent? She's doing a good job, unlike the team. We're trying to sign Lana permanently. She's very expensive, though, and we've got a very, very small budget. So we'll see what we can do. But yeah, we're going to try and get Lana on more often. She's not just here to represent Ren. She is an Arsenal fan, at least when Lacazette is playing. I've got another one for you, Lana, and then I will come to Josh. You are going to be included, mate. Don't worry. It's from Ariane Lana. A little bit off topic, but is Gignac the best French striker?
Oh, I'm not going to dignify that answer. I'm sorry. I won't, because everyone knows that, so no.
Oh, there you go.
And it's not Henry either, it's Trezeguet, so sorry, Arsenal fans.
Yeah, probably is Trezeguet, to be fair. Josh, one from Preet Colson. Is Chris, the frog-licking pirate, going to get inflated by this result? He may fart and disappear up his own hipster ass. I'm not sure if that's a question or a statement.
Is he? Well, going by some of the messages he's been sending to us, potentially. But he has had his wings clipped by a young Ross Bramble for a comment he made pre-game, let's just say. So I think he's getting his comeuppance, should we say, Pete Coulson.
Yeah. Chris may have said Arsenal are going to put Ren to the sword tonight. So it's not just me, it's a jinx. question from Jamie Fitzgrade. DJ Fitzgrade, how you doing, mate? When we went a player down, we still looked dangerous going forward. Aubameyang and Lacazette have no service. I'm scared for Sunday. Less of a question, more a statement. Josh, what did you make of that? The service in general tonight. I know obviously it was tough because a large period of the game we only had 10 men, but what did you think the service that Aubameyang was getting?
I didn't think the service to Aubameyang was too bad, to be honest. It's just what he was doing, it was awful. Just thinking the countless times that he was overplaying it, you know, the opportunity where just before Ozil got taken off, where he'd had that shot, Ozil plays a ball into Aubameyang, and you'd expect him, a striker with confidence, be striking through that. You know, thinking back to the 4-2 North London derby, he was taking first-time shots from 25, 30 yards, running onto the ball. And today he looked like a Wobi, I would almost say, you know, when he gets kind of confused on the ball. He had that kind of thing about him. He just didn't know what to do, couldn't get it out from under his feet. He was just struggling today. I think that's not necessarily down to the service. I think if you put Lacazette in that team, or even just, you know, Aubameyang came out, and look how many chances Aaron Ramsey had just in that near towards the end of the game. And we were, you know, a man down at that time and playing on the counter. We still were creating opportunities. At that point, I think it was just the person on the end of them was just so out of form at the moment that we couldn't convert.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Formerly knows at asks, where was Jenko? He's not injured as far as I'm aware, so he just wasn't picked.
Magaluf, isn't it? Stag weekend. Glad.
Or maybe he'd been the carnival in Rio and hasn't recovered yet. He's been partying with Neymar. Or the tropical Stuart Downing, as I saw him called last night on Twitter, which has got to be the greatest insult I've ever seen. One from Archie. Are the next two big games defining for our Arsenal season as a whole, as a club, and for the fans? Lana, you're not an Arsenal fan, so you get a true Arsenal fan, as it were. So we get an outside view on this. So next two games, obviously Man United and then the return leg for the Ren game. Does this define our season?
I feel like every game is supposed to be a defining moment season for Arsenal. I don't think so. I mean, it, what, so losing this means you're going to lose the rest of your games? I mean, you just got to take one game at a time and hope for the best. I don't believe, buy into crap or nonsense about how one team is the defining moment game for a team. I just think that one should do their best and win it. And if we don't, well, then you can focus on the next game. I mean, Arsenal fans just sound miserable as it is. I mean, the next week's games isn't going to change that. Unless Mustafa, you know, concedes another penalty.
Fair enough. Oh, I've lost where I was. Let's see, Jason's much better at doing the questions, even though his computer never works half the time. Mike Hernandez, no, that's not it. Mike Hernandez, Jesus Christ. Will we see Sanchez start by the end of the season, Josh?
Honestly, I had to double take which Sanchez we were talking about, because I'd honestly forgotten we'd signed Dennis Suarez. Did you mean Suarez?
Oh, he must have mean Suarez, yeah. I was going to say, hang on a minute, Sanchez, what, who?
To be fair, I'm still confused. He could have been called Dennis Sanchez and I'd have agreed. I don't think we'll see him start unless we end up with an injury crisis, to be honest. I think we just kind of got him in as like a carrot to beat Ozil over the head with and go, look, this tiny little lightweight can do enough running around. You can't in training. I think that was it, really. The only reason we've really got him in was cover for those creative positions. Yeah. I don't expect him to see him, to be honest.
Another one from Mike Hernandez. Should AZB and Niles be loaned out next season? Go on, Josh. You're a big Amen fan. What do you reckon?
Yes. Would I want to see him loaned out? It depends what Emery's plan is for him. I would like to see him go out to, you know, if we've got an option to send him to Germany again, send him to France, send him to Spain, get him out as a winger. Have him playing a good number of games out there, 30 odd games, because I don't think he'll get them with Arsenal next season. If we make the Champions League, especially, however likely that looks, maybe not being in Europa League will help us out, will allow us to concentrate on the league, as the corporate line will be when it evidently happens. But yeah, I would say, yeah, he could be loaned out if we make Champions League next season, basically.
Fair enough. Lana, we've got another question from Ariane for you. I don't know if you're going to answer this one either. What would you do if Aulas signed Gignac as our striker, Conte to replace Ndombele, and Deschamps to replace Genesio?
Or Allegri, for that matter.
You are allowed to swear on this radio show, so go for it. You're on mute, Lana, sorry.
Apparently, Deschamps is linked to Juve, so, you know, God really does test me in many ways. So I don't think he's coming to Lyon. And last I checked, which is an hour ago, Lyon are prepared to bring back a former Arsenal player, Remy Gard, as their coach. And I do not think that Lyon will sign Gignac or Conte. Sorry to, you know, burst your bubble. Lyon will focus on their academy. Being the best in the world and produce great players and not sign bums like Gignac. I'm sorry to disappoint you guys.
There you go, Arian. See, at least you got an answer this time. Another one for Pete Colson. Next two results: Arsenal 5, Manchester United 0. Arsenal 5, Rennes 0. Choose. So, Josh, which one would you rather have?
Actually, you know what? I'll take the 5-0 up, Man United, because we haven't beat the Moyes United. We didn't beat the LVG United once, didn't we? We just about couldn't even beat Mourinho one when he didn't even give a fuck about it, about football, let alone just trying to beat Arsenal. So if we could just at least beat the Solskjaer train, that'd be great. And I can be really smug at work because there's loads of United fans in there.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'd take the beating Man United 5-0. That'd be great. Because you don't need to beat Rennes 5-0 to go through. So I've cheated a little bit, Pete. There you go. Madeira 93. How much will you enjoy beating United this weekend and become only the second team to beat Super Oli, the world's greatest manager, whose tactics yesterday were to wait for PSG to bottle it? I will greatly enjoy it because it will kill the hype train a little bit. I'm sure the media will find some way of twisting it and saying, well, United have got 10 injuries, so can't really pay attention, you know, that kind of thing. But it'd be nice to absolutely, like, destroy them and, yeah, and piss them off. No, I don't like Man United, but I must admit, I laughed my ass off when PSG bowled out last night. It was great. Right, a couple more questions. PSG, I see you keep typing in the box, but I can't see this question. It still doesn't come up. So if you can put it in again, or Danny, send it to me. I don't know. Benares Hussein, why is Nketiah not given a chance when he is one of the best young talent seen? Josh?
I don't think he's that good for us. I don't think he might have helped us today, but I think we had bigger problems across the pitch than putting Eddie Nketiah up there. I think what we saw in the earlier rounds, that I don't think he's actually ready for us at this level. He did look promising, but I think the way that we're playing in this transition season, unfortunately, I think the Welbeck injury kind of hampered him, and he could have gone out on loan in January. That's what I would have done with him, because I don't think he's good enough at the moment for us at this level. Doesn't mean sell him, because, you know, you might end up with a late bloomer. But yeah, I don't think he's good enough for us at the moment.
Yeah, fair enough. I tend to agree. It's awkward. Like you said, I think if Welbeck hadn't got injured and Nketiah goes out on loan and gets some actual game time, and he's in this awkward position where we can't afford to play him right now, because every game is so important, and we haven't got, not a throwaway cup competition, but because the fact we're not in the FA Cup or the League Cup for as long as we could have been, he hasn't got any games to play. Right. Two more questions. One from Ben Murphy. Lana, you can answer this. Should Josh shave more?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay.
I mean, I like my beard. That's why not. But it does need a trim.
For guy trying to become a pillow. Keep the beard.
You're going to be the ginger pillow?
Yeah, I hope to be a little better at football than Jack Colback, though. The actual ginger pillow. But yeah, it does need a trim. Yes, Ben.
I have a question for the chat box very quickly, as I asked the last question of the night. Guys, can you please, you can answer, but if you're arseholes, I will be, I don't know, I'll do something nasty to your sister or your mum or something. What did you think of Lana tonight, and should we have her on more often? Please let us know. If you're horrible, then actually, no, I won't do anything. Lana will chase you down and stab you. It's fine. So last question. I'm going to get two different views on this. Josh, yours is first. So from Michael Hahnemann, thoughts on David Seaman saying he'd support Spurs in the Champions League final if they got through?
And I thought Mad Jens was mental. I think Dave Seaman spent too much time down at the river, and his head's turned to maggots. That's it. I'm not very happy.
That's a pretty good answer. Very quickly before I get Lana's view, Yvonne, thank you very much as always for the donation. You are wonderful to us. Glad F1 is back next week, so we'll miss the second leg. I understand you've got something. You've got something else to try and cheer you up. Lana, just from your point of view, I'm trying to think of a similar thing. You hate Buffon now because he left, obviously. But let's say he stayed at Juventus or retired at Juventus. If Inter got to the Champions League final, if only, and he came out and said he was going to cheer them on, would that upset you? Would it piss you off? As obviously, you know, I know we're not rivals anymore because we're not a big, but you know what I mean?
Well, it wouldn't, I think. Well, this is a difference between English clubs and Italian, because Italian clubs, they cheer each other on. They want the clubs to do well because of the coefficient, you know, and TV money and everything. So I don't think, you know, I don't think that would have been such a big shock if he came out, because he would have been, yeah, it's good for the Italian league and it, you know, brings more views to Serie A. So had it been the other way around, if it was an English team, I think you probably would have told each other to piss off and other nasty things. But in Italy, it's normal. It's same in France. I mean, you know, Kylian Mbappe went out yesterday and said that he would cheer on Lyon. So I hope he hasn't jinxed them.
Okay, but what if it was an ex-Lyon player saying it about Marseille?
Still.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, I think it's different, the whole football culture in other countries compared to England. It's very like, you can sit with us in England, whilst in France, it's like, you know, farmers league. Thinking about farmers.
All those farmers love to sit together. Yeah. Well, yeah, good answer. From my point of view, Michael, I kind of get where he's coming from if they're the only English team. And I think maybe, I haven't seen the direct quote, so maybe he's talking about in reference to English players like Kane, you know, Trippier, Rose, you know, those kind of guys, because he wants English, you know, national team players to do well and win a European Cup. But to actually cheer Spurs, the team, no, that's just, yeah, it's wrong. But there we go. Lana, you'll be pleased to know the chat box absolutely loves you and wants you back. So we're going to have to negotiate you at a cheaper price because we just can't afford it right now.
But I'll be cheaper than Ramsey, that's for sure.
Oh, see, chatbox, she will throw little slide digs like that at us, though.
I would say you need to be careful looking through some of those replies as well, because I mistook some for replies about David Seaman. You're not a Wankstein, Lana. That's David.
That's fine. One guy accused me of being a red fan at the beginning, so...
Yeah, that happens. Someone's accused me of being an Arsenal fan before, believe it or not, considering the things I say on this. But yeah, that's it for questions. Before Josh wraps up, I just want to say thank you to Petito, Mark Hanneman, Unique79, and Yvonne. Thank you all for your donations. They really, really help us out. Your donations have actually paid for a fancy new microphone that I've got. Danny is going to do a little video about it because he's got one as well. So thank you for those. But yeah, Josh, I'll hand it back to you to wrap us up.
Thank you very much, John. I can really hear from your new microphone that bullshit deflector you've got in there is working absolute wonders.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, stop you talking bollocks all day. You've done my thank yous already to Michael, Petito 100, Unique 79, and Yvonne, and to the rest of the chat box, all 156 of you. Just before we leave, you know, I've only got 71 thumbs up. And you know what? That's a little bit Arsenal of you. You know, promised so much and delivered so little to us. You know, give us a thumbs up. Tappy tappy for us.
Tappy tappy for the taffy. There you go. It's the best Welsh accent you're going to get out of me.
From that, we'll say thank you, John. Although I'm not really sure thank you is the word I'm looking for.
Thank you. Cheers,
and
John.
Thank you, Lana. It's been a wonderful debut from you. And if only it could have been in better circumstances for the Arsenal.
You're welcome. Maybe I'll be back under better, circumstances.
Absolutely.
I heard a rumour that Lana has got an Aaron Ramsey shirt. And every time she's worn it, Arsenal have won. So, you know.
I didn't wear it tonight, sorry. I actually wore my Lacazette shirt because I missed him. But otherwise, every time I wear it, Arsenal wins.
There you go.
There we go. And, the last thing is to say, we will be back on Sunday after the Man United game, win, lose, or draw, unless we lose so badly, then we might have all killed ourselves. But hopefully not. And from that, I say thank you very much. And John, turn the shit off.